As the insurrection in Nicaragua spreads with opposition to the government of President Anastasio Somoza, almost universal, the strategy of the main forces involved has emerged clearly. The Sandinistas National Liberation Front, the Frente, F-R-E-N-T-E, the one we do have, are very deadly. They can cause your legs to rot clear off practically to the bone. And we have tigers out there. Our neighbors have been attacked with tigers. We never have had any problem. Perhaps it's because we share some food with them. Maybe they understand our concern. But there are too many, many hazards for you children to take it upon yourself to go into a jungle. The head engineer in Guyana industry said that he went just in the jungle, thought he knew what he was doing, and was lost for 8 days without water. There's plenty of paths, there's roads for you to walk where you want to go. You can walk to Kaituma, you can walk out and see enough of the world, but don't try to be pioneers. You will regret doing that because somebody will lose their life if you don't stay out of those jungles alone. In the first place, Vincent, if you seriously want this job, you're going to have to decide on it right now. You're going to have to decide on it right now because the diversion flight will be here before too long, and we have to have an understanding what you want to do. We want you to do what you want to do. That's the last call. Thank you. I want to remind the adventurers and children who like to collect things, as the insurrection of Nicaragua spreads with opposition to the government of President, or should we say dictator, Anastasio Somoza, almost universally, the strategy of the main force involved has emerged clearly. The Sandinista National Liberation Front, the Frente, F-R-E-N-T-E, the Frente believes that Nicaragua is experiencing the third stage of a popular revolution, and many revolutionary authorities agree. Augusto Cesar Sandino, who fought U.S. imposed government, he fought the U.S. imposed government and an occupying force of 4,800 U.S. imposed soldiers upon him. Marines, I'm talking about U.S. Marines, until 1933. Defining its main goal in this stage as getting rid of Somoza and Somocismo, the empire the family has built up in over 40 years of rule, the Frente strategy is to help create a national insurrection, democratic government, including representatives of all the sectors that are participating in this anti-Somoza struggle. It is perhaps one of the most broadly unified front that's been seen, with the exception of Peru, where Trotskyites, Maoists, and Muscovites have formed quite a coalition against the oppressive military regime. It's reportedly true that the similar type of unison has developed in Bolivia and, very strongly so, in Colombia. Colombia has such a bold hold on their lands that they moved into the capital of Colombia, Bogota, and were able to find 18 informers to the secret police and hold a people's execution right in open daylight in Colombia and escape. So evolution is in the wind, and we're mighty glad that it is. Anyway, the Frente's strategy is to help build up over 40 years of rule. The Frente's strategy is to help create a national insurrection to weaken the government and to replace it with a revolutionary democratic government, including representatives of all the sectors that are participating in the anti-Somoza struggle. The Frente encouraged the formalization of the broad opposition front, which called the general strike of the first past 2 weeks. The broad front consists of 15 organizations, including conservative, that's beautiful, but people who love liberty overlook their labels, including conservative, and if you will, communist parties, the main confederation, and the group called Los Doce, the 12 made up of leading Nicaraguan political and professional figures close to the Sandinistas. The Frente has recognized publicly that it is not prepared to rule the country after Somoza leaves, but it is clearly its aim to replace some of its members and Los Doce, in key position in any interim armed government in between, that means. The Frente's strategy, which has been described in various communications, stand by, there's a question. Frente's strategy has been described in communiques with interviews as reflected in the armed attacks on National Guard garrisons of the past year, in the taking of the National Palace last month, and the fighting in different cities where poorly armed Sandinista sympathizers often held off National Guard troops for days. The moderate opposition, the center and center-left forces in the broad opposition front, gave grudging support to the Sandinistas' military actions. Some business leaders in the Conservative Party, for example, say they will accept Sandinistas' representation in the interim government. Stand by. Stand by. Another question. Sorry for the many interruptions. But more conservative members of the front, including those who backed an arranged coup by National Guard officers late last month, fear the growing influence and power of the French and hope they can form a government without them. The assembly of the, for example, vetoed August 27 to support the broad front in its general strike, but attacked the Frente, saying it stood for violence, destruction, and a denial of the right to private property. Dictator Anastasio Somoza, who has been held up by nothing in these past few days but military aid gotten to him clandestinely, that is, secretly, through U.S. multinational corporations. Somoza, whose family has ruled Nicaragua, Central America, largest country, since 1936, went on the offensive last week, hoping to stick it out until the 1881 election, when he said he would leave the government in the hands of his son or a trusted associate. However, some observers claim Somoza is just trying to regain the initiative in order to negotiate a good deal for himself and his family before leaving the country. But Somoza says publicly he thinks the opposition is too divided internally to overthrow him. He is also counting on the business opposition to fold as the strike takes its toll in profits. Of interest, news has it just a few moments ago that the entire Northwest region is in charge of the people leading a rebellion against Somoza. As the strike takes toll in profits, Somoza thinks the business element will drop their interest, but he apparently isn't accurate yet. He has taunted the opposition over its lack of a unifying leader and harps on Cold War themes to scare the more moderate members of the opposition and to get the U.S. government, which is always easy to do, to give him military aid. He claims the Frente is supplied by Cuba. Voice of America was so absolutely caught up in the Cold War frenzy that it said earlier that it could not be Nicaraguans in the Frente. We had them all killed 10 years ago. I would be slightly ashamed to admit that if I were them, which the Frente denies. The Frente denies that there are Cubans. As of last week, Somoza still had the loyalty of the National Guard, a loyalty based on special privileges and elitism. He offers the most poor troops, including the spoils of war. It's not much that they get, but it's better than the meager rations that the ordinary peasants have. Somoza's power and the broad opposition to it have roots deep in the past years of rule by the Somoza family and 66 years of close U.S. involvement in Nicaraguan affairs. The U.S. first intervened militarily in Nicaragua in 1912 to suppress a rebellion by liberals who sought some independence from U.S. tutelage. In 1927, Sandino began his great and brave guerrilla war against the USA's fascist-imposed government, leading to the first victim Vietnam-style intervention in U.S. history. To defeat Sandino's army, the USA sent some 4,800 troops and used aerial bombings, but failed to pacify the country. In 1933, the last troops withdrew, partly because of anti-intervention sentiment in the country, which led to 1932 Senate vote to cut off funds for the intervention. But they left in their place the National Guard, the nation's only police and army force, under the command of the current president's father, Anastasio Somoza Garcia. Since then, the Somozas and their supporters, always close to the United States government, have used their great power to build lucrative, that means wealthy, personal empires. Though the family and his cohorts, president through the family and his cohorts, his allies and so forth, President Somoza, who is said to be worth at least $1 billion, owns outright or controls the national airlines, at least 30 to 35% of the prime farmland of Nicaragua. What a crime. The people of the world will not tolerate this much longer. He owns the cement and meat packing, metal fabricating, and concrete plants, the construction monopoly. He has an absolute monopoly on all construction firms. He owns the newspaper and the TV station and a port called Puerto Somoza. Through his banking, insurance, and investment companies, he controls much of the country's financial system. Somoza's profited enormously from the reconstruction following the 1972 earthquake, which destroyed Managua, the capital of beautiful Nicaragua. The open graft of that period forced many businesses and banking leaders into the opposition, since they felt squeezed out of any kind of lucrative deals by the Somoza family. Lust is always the final enemy that brings down capitalism. There is no unity in capitalism. It's not based on a philosophy of cooperation or sharing. So there always is some capitalist going to be more hungry for power and wealth than another. And consequently, that is always the result. That is the contradictions of capitalism that sooner or later will bring it to its timely death. To keep this empire together against a people with a strong tradition of rebellion symbolized by Sandino, Somoza built the 7,500-man National Guard, who had been trained, according to reliable reports, by USA aides, Green Beret, through the CIA. No doubt of it, no doubt of it. Anyway, these troops, three-quarters of the National Guard troops, have been trained, as I said, by the United States. They know that. And they have been trained well, according to the International Bulletin. They've been trained well in methods of torture. It makes our hearts ache when we think how much of our money went out to support this kind of devastating cruelty. And all the children that have been napalmed across the world, all of the horrible acts of torture that have been done in the name of our tax dollars. Anyway, as I was saying, they've been trained in the USA, including crack counter-insurgency troops who received special training in the Panama Canal Zone. Although Panama is getting extremely more independent, and is having quite a bit to say about what goes on in the canal zone. In recent years, these troops have carried out brutal campaigns in the mountains of northern Nicaragua, killing hundreds of peasants in their search for Sandinistas. They put down rebellions in Malaya earlier this year, killing at least 100 people, and Matagalpa last month, where at least 150 died as a poorly armed civilian rebel fought troops armed with machine guns and supported by machine guns with helicopters above them, gunships, and also armed vehicles, all purchased conveniently through the USA. And this is one of the most striking things: the Catholic Church hierarchy has aided in the past this kind of brutality by even using some of its church wealth. It has been reported of recent days, though, that the younger priests of the Catholic Church have denounced the guard's brutality in these campaigns. Opposition leaders say that the National Guard and the U.S. government are now Somoza's key sources of power. They hope for a split in the National Guard, since a clear-cut military victory is unlikely. Unlikely. If this were Cuba doing these kinds of irresponsible acts, if this was some socialist free territory committing these kinds of acts, we already would have seen the U.S. Marines. I remember so well how San Domingo, the Dominican Republic, wanted to have a liberal progressive democracy, but the U.S. Marines moved in a matter of hours and stopped that. So we won't fall for that kind of baloney. Meanwhile, the Carter administration remains publicly committed to pursuing negotiations between the government and the responsible opposition forces, quote unquote. What are the responsible opposition forces? Naturally, those that would encourage the free enterprise system. Most of the groups in the broad front say this amounts to supporting Somoza, since they refuse to negotiate with him on the ground that he is not trustworthy. Carter administration policy towards the Somoza dread fascist regime has been, as one reporter for the Washington Post put it, absolutely, sickeningly schizophrenic. in the last past year, withholding and then giving aid, criticizing and then praising Somoza for his human rights practices. Carter should shut his mouth about anybody's human rights practices until he does something about the tens of thousands of political prisoners that our black ambassador to the United Nations, even Andrew Young, had the courage to say existed. Opposition leaders say top U.S. policymakers are reluctant to cut off all support for Somoza because they fear that chaos and an increase in the left's power will follow. But the administration is clearly hedging its bets. Last week, rumors circulated in Managua that U.S. Ambassador Mauricio Solon was holding secret meetings with opposition business and banking executives to figure out what they could offer Somoza as a compromise so that he could remain in power. I can't imagine how any civilized government would have the nerve to even attend the United Nations and talk about human dignity and human rights and then follow such practices. A little news about Bikini that might be of interest to you. Bikini, B-I-K-I-N-I. Look it up on your map so you'll be familiar geographically. Bikini is a lovely little atoll, a little island in the Pacific. 140 residents of Bikini were removed from the South Pacific island last month, their home for centuries. For the second time in 32 years, they said they would not go, but they had little choice. Their island, its coconut, palms, and blue lagoon is contaminated beyond the danger level by radiation from U.S. bomb testing. 20 years after the United States used its first nuclear test from 1946 to 1958, the people of Bikini were removed from their homes in 1946. French nuclear deal-off. In what is being described as a victory for President Carter non-proliferation policy, France has withdrawn plans to sell nuclear processing plants to Pakistan. The decision was announced by Pakistan just yesterday. France had been trying for a year to change its contract signed in 1976 by offering Pakistan a co-processing plant instead of reprocessing facility. Both would take spent fuel and turn it into fuel that could be used again in a nuclear power plant. The difference is that the reprocessing plant would produce plutonium in a separate form usable for building nuclear weapons. Pakistan refused to accept the co-processing facility, a fact which had led many to believe that the Pakistanis were indeed seeking plutonium. You'll have to excuse me, I was up all night and I haven't gotten any rest yet, so I sound, I imagine, more than a little froggy. Anyway, they refused because they were seeking a bomb that would produce plutonium for use in building a bomb in 1974 to catch up with their rival, India, which exploded a bomb, as you remember, in 1974. Now that the reprocessing deal is off, the USA says it hopes to sign a new aid agreement with Pakistan in an effort to show displeasure over the French deal. The USA last fall had put under review all but food and agricultural aid to Pakistan. However, rumor has it that the French are still working underhandedly and beneath the table to be able to supply Pakistan with the kind of equipment she needs to build a nuclear bomb. Naturally, one doesn't have to have the intelligence of a moron to realize that as you find more and more nations plagued with food, drought, monsoons, all kinds of malnutrition, that when you get that many weapons, someone is bound to make a mistake. It's as inevitable as the sun rises. We remember the young man that spoke to us who had been an assistant commander in the Polaris submarine. There were 16, I believe, missiles on that submarine. And every month, he said, like robots, they went through the test. The only thing that would prove to them that it wasn't a real happening was that the captain had to turn a last key. That day, he happened to look up, and the captain started to turn the key. And after much fighting, which was very difficult to stop the captain, they got it stopped just short of the captain firing the key, turning the key that would have sent 16 missiles throughout the world, and thus started the Holocaust. Sometimes I think humans have less intelligence than monkeys. Even if monkeys were given nitroglycerin to play with, I don't think they would do it with as much glee. Anyway, France's decision is expected to put a new pressure on West Germany, which has ran into conflict with the Carter administration over plans to supply Brazil with nuclear reactors and a reprocessing plant. In light of that, 98 of the world's leading scientists, no, of the leading scientists of the world, 98.7 said nuclear war would happen in the 1980s. Not very promising kind of information, even though we have an area where there's food in abundance and no sign of radiation from the Geiger counters. No one likes to think about living in such a world. A sea of oil. Mexico's President Jose Lopez Portillo announced in State of the Union address that Mexico has proven oil reserves of 20 billion barrels and potential oil reserves totaling 200 billion barrels. If the estimate turns out to be correct, Mexico could replace Saudi Arabia as the world's most important oil-producing country. In recent months, Pemex, the state oil company, has continued to make dramatic new discoveries of oil. What the Los Angeles Times calls a sea of oil, a half mile deep and 200 square miles in expanse, seems to lie under southeastern Mexico. In this area, a high 63% of the exploratory wells are striking oil. Meanwhile, production is rising and is rising rapidly. In 1976, Mexico was producing an average of 894,000 barrels a day and exporting 94,000. Mexico is now pumping 1,400,000 barrels a day and exporting more than 200,000. Bravo to them. Income from the exports will total $2 billion this year. Let's hope they can keep from having to be under the finger of Yankee imperialist refinery processes. Double last year's, and Pemex says exports could bring $500 million.